For our readings today, we have two readings from the Gospel according to Luke. The first is Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 36, and can be found on page 72 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles or on the screen. Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The second reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, and can be found on page 85 of your pew Bibles and on the screens. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down."
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in worship with you this morning. Please pray with me. Holy God, as we consider all that we have given thanks to you for, all that you shower upon us every day, may we live in gratitude. May we live reflecting your glory for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think you know that we're doing a preaching series on the fruits of the Spirit. And I like this idea. We're using the Galatians 5 passage to cover this. And according to that scripture, our faith and the power of the Holy Spirit sets us free. It sets us free from social prejudice, from restrictions, from constraints, even from church traditions that constrain us. We are free to love and to serve. And the proof of the Spirit's healing and empowerment are these fruits that we are going to be preaching about every week. I remember the pianist for a church that I served in Hawaii, and she suggested that the best guideline whenever we see a scripture passage that confuses us, or if we have some kind of ethical dilemma — not that you ever have ethical dilemmas or scriptures that confuse you, but if you do, one of the best ways, the best guidelines for that is to consider what fruit comes out of following that scripture or that interpretation. If the fruit that comes out is exclusion or competition or carelessness, then it is not of the Spirit. If the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then we're good. So today's focus is generosity. So take a moment and think about a time when you were generous, when you practiced generosity with your money, with your time, your attention, your care. And think, what enabled you to show that generosity to another? Of course, there's no controversy about generosity being enabled by the Spirit, but how does the Spirit motivate us? Could it be through guilt, or a sense of obligation, or pity, Or kind of a modern thing is, was it an investment in the public good? A lot of the fundraisers say that now. I would suggest that the Holy Spirit moves us to generosity through our gratitude and our desire to participate in God's saving power in the world. As we experience the amazing grace of Christ's Spirit in our lives, we want to help others experience it. And we get energy and joy from being a channel for the Spirit that flows out to others. Trusting that God has done marvelous things for each of us and will continue to provide for us, we can live in the flow of God's love for the world. Recently, I was reminded of a seminary professor who suggested that God's will is not a rigid set of tasks and commandments. I think some of us were raised thinking that that was our job in life, was to figure out exactly what God wanted from us and to do it. But this professor has said, well, actually, maybe instead, God's will is more like a broad river. And as individuals, we have the freedom to swim along. We can even try to swim upstream. We could try to build a little dam in our part of the river. Though, if we do that, we're likely to catch a lot of debris and mosquitoes. But the river is really big. So even though we all think that we can make choices for ourselves, the river's going to keep moving. It's going to continue to flow. And it's not up to us to make it flow, and it's not up to us to try to stop it. Consider today's scripture lessons. One lesson from both of these stories is that generosity is not limited to the wealthy or the powerful or the people who have enough or those who are known for their virtue. Generosity is not a reflection of earthly abundance. The generosity that saves a crime victim's life, the generosity that puts a smile on Jesus' face, that generosity can come from any of us, and even from the least of us. Consider the poor widow. Really, in Jesus' days, that term poor widow is kind of redundant, because nearly all the widows were poor back then. That's why they would hang out at the temple. It's a place where they won't be driven out. And God commanded us that we would care for the orphans and the widows. And so this widow, probably like the other poor widows who were without family now, they had nothing to their name. And so it's likely that she spent a lot of time at the temple. And just as her faith community had become everything to her, she gave her all to God. But I have to say, what's even more interesting is the story about the man that we refer to as the Good Samaritan. But I wonder if people realize how subversive Jesus was being when he told that story. You got to remember, I don't know if you all think of what a Samaritan is, but since we always call him a good Samaritan, we kind of figure, well, Samaritans must be good people, right? Well, the hero of this story actually is not the priest, not the good people, not the Levite, not the people who were born into a privileged class. These two leaders didn't just fail to help the man who had been attacked and robbed. The good people, they even crossed the road to avoid him. They were likely afraid that if they came too close to this man who was dying, because there was a purity law against touching dead people. So they were so afraid of becoming impure that they actually went around so that they wouldn't touch him, wouldn't get too close. Because if they did, they'd be ritually unclean for a week. And why take the chance? The hero of the story is the Samaritan. And as I mentioned, actually, Samaritans didn't have a great reputation. You may not realize that there was a bitter hatred between Jews and Samaritans back then. The relationship is especially strained because it wasn't just a simple rivalry between strangers. The Samaritans were the descendants of the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Jews, the people we consider to be Jews, they're from the southern kingdom. And the Jews, the southern kingdom Jews, saw these Samaritans as half-breeds, as betrayers of their special identity as the chosen children of God. They saw the Samaritans, in fact, as less than. The Samaritans, in fact, did become a mixed race due to the conquest of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians did what we call ethnic cleansing. So whether their mixed heritage for the Samaritans, whether the mixed heritage of the Samaritans came from loose morals or from betrayal of their heritage or because they were subjugated by the rape of the aggressors, the Jews hated and they looked down on Samaritans. And the Samaritans had their own rejection of the Jews. So, you know, the worst fighting is the fight between family. That's what this was. Since the events of this story happen right near the border of Judea and Samaria, this scene is fraught with this kind of racial hatred and feuding between neighbors, because they were neighboring nations, or even between family members. How dare Jesus suggest that this heretical half-breed from the other side of the border would be the moral superior of the proper church leaders? Let me say that one again. Think about it. That Jesus actually pointed to the Samaritan, that half-breed heretic from the other side of the border, and said, "This is the one who did better than the priest and the Levite." But that's what he did. Now, I believe that the biggest motivator for generosity is compassion that has been forged from one's own hard times and the gratitude that we get for God's help in the midst of those trials. Because he knew what it felt like to suffer, and because he wasn't so far from being the victim, perhaps the Samaritan was more willing to tend to and even to carry this half-dead man. The sad thing is that people who've grown up sheltered from struggle often have an underdeveloped sense of compassion. Even as my own experience, I've seen this, that it's the people who struggle and the people who have been hurt and who have known God's saving grace, they often are the ones who have that compassion that it's rooted in their own experience. They are happy to not only be thankful to God for what God's done in their lives, but they're happy to be able to participate in sharing that grace with others. In times like ours, in the life of this church, we may not remember what God has brought to us, but rather, right this moment, we may be worrying about what or who is going away. We can become too focused on what we have lost, and we start to protect ourselves and our possessions rather than trust that God will provide. If we were little fish in that big river of God's will, we would be busy trying to build our dams so that we can hold on to what we have, fearing that the flowing water will carry away our sense of security and control. But that isn't God's way. The river keeps flowing, and the living water stays fresh from the movement. Trapping the water just makes it stagnant and unhealthy. We can welcome new friends, new partners, and even when we are sad to say goodbye to dear ones, we can trust that we remain connected by the Holy Spirit. And just as we must let them go so that they may bless others, God will yet provide for us in some new way. This is how we participate in the dynamic flow of blessedness that Jesus has called all of us into. We can participate in that flow and let our generosity go out to others because we know that God will replenish us. Are we willing to play with that? My prayer is that we are filled with the healing spirit of Christ. We can appreciate, as we often do during our prayer time, we can appreciate and share the countless ways that we're blessed with grace and healing and love. And even as we go through times of challenge and grief, we will be assured of God's care that we continue to grieve, to give. We can continue to give. We can continue to love. We can reach out to others and welcome new friends. Not because they're going to be the perfect people or that they're going to do exactly what we think that they should do. Not because it's convenient. But because we have this awesome opportunity to bear God's grace to others. And as we carry God's blessings to others, some of that blessing will rub off onto us too. So thank you. Thank you all, church. Thank you for being the loving and welcoming community that you are. Thank you for continuing to voice the good news of God's grace in your life. And may this fruit-bearing spirit of Christ continue to work through you today and always. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to throw in a hymn that we can sing and share with those again that we can be sharing our grace with.